Good evening. It's time for us to get our Wednesday night study going. This month we're going to this quarter we're going to have a study regarding prayer. So hopefully you'll find it useful to you. Tonight we'll kind of have an introductory lesson, and then we'll get more into the meat of this as we go through the rest of the quarter. Prayer. It's a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God or an object of worship, is what the definition says. Or an act of communication by humans with the sacred or holy. And it seems that most people are given, even people that are not believers, are given to something that's akin to prayer anyway. I don't know if you've ever heard the old saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. Because when people get in trouble, they start looking for help wherever they can find it. And if you look at Luke 11, verse 1, it says, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. So there is a lot that we can learn. It's not just something that comes completely naturally as far as how we're to go about it, all those kind of things, what we're to expect, and all those things. Because here the disciples are with Jesus himself, and my guess is they saw him praying daily. And they saw the fact that he, you know, would at times go up into the mountains at night and pray all night long. And probably were wondering, what exactly is he saying? What is he asking for? How's he going about this? Because what their desire was, and what our desire should be, is that we figure out how we can get as close to God as we can get. This is probably as good an opportunity for us to learn to do this as any is in our prayer life. How is it we're going to draw nigh to God? So it's not only in our worship service, in our studies, in maybe the good things that we're able to do, but it's in our direct communication with God Himself that we're going to get closer to God. So we have a divine authority for prayer, and so the object of our prayers is God. The source of our power is God. The source of our answers to our prayer is God. And just like, you know, people talk about faith as if it's some magical thing, the fact of the matter is, faith is only as good as what you put your faith into. And it's the same way with prayers. I can pray to Mother Nature all day long. I can pray to Allah all day long, and that's not going to do me any good. And I can have faith in the United States government. I can have faith in our city government, and it's only as good as what that is. And what we find out is that we're going to be let down a lot if our faith is misplaced, if our prayers to whom we're praying to is misplaced, then we're not going to get the kind of results, the kind of peace that we're looking for in our close relationship with our Maker. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Someone read verse 3, please.
As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue.
We have divine authority for prayer, and in the Scriptures, God tells us how we're to go about it. And He's telling us here, He said, His divine power, He's granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. In other words, He's showing us here how we're to go about this. If you look in John chapter 16 and verse 13, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Now, I know He's talking to His disciples there, But his disciples are the ones that wrote down what he told them as far as what the truth was going to be. And in that, he's showing us, he answers the same question that the disciples asked of him earlier, is, Lord, teach us to pray. And God teaches us that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And you all know this scripture very well. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And prayer is one of those things that we're equipped to do if we look to His Word. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. So again, all the things that we believe in has been handed down to us. It's in the Scriptures. And so this is the authority that we have. This is the teaching that we have telling us what we're to go about and how we're to go about praying. So there's certain assumptions that we that the Bible teaches us that we make in our prayer life, things that are revealed in the Bible about prayer. First, assumptions in prayer, first thing that we have to know is this, and the most important thing. The reality of God. If we don't believe that God is real, what is the point of having a prayer life? And so, I know that that is a basic thing, which everybody here understand this. But this is one thing that we have to know. The reality of God, one, the Scriptures, we know that there is a relationship between God and man. Right? And in the Bible, this is God speaking to us. He's given us His Word. He's told us exactly what we need to know. So in that way, God has spoke to us. And in our prayer life is man speaking to God. So and we go to God and His Word to try to figure out what it is He would have us to do. But God, there is two-way communication there. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Someone read verses 20 and 21, please. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy in Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
So everything we have here, this is not just something that was written down by people. This is the literal Word of God. And it's what we, and it, so God tells us what we're to do here. So we learn from the Holy Scriptures. What do we learn from God? One, we learn about God Himself. He tells us about Himself. The fact that He's completely holy, that the fact that He's righteous, the fact that He shows loving kindness to people who seek Him out. The fact that He sends rain and sunshine on the good and the evil. The fact that He had to have justice so much that He sent His Son into this world to die for the sins of the world because of His love for us. So there's a lot of things we learn about God that He's revealed to us about Himself in His Word. Also, He reveals to us in His Word what His plan is for humanity. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should repent. That He desires every person to be in a proper relationship with Him. Father, son, father, daughter. That's what his plan for humanity is. And He gives us a choice whether we want to be part of that plan or not. One of the things He tells us, or things that He tells us in His Scriptures, is what acceptable behavior and acceptable living is. His Word is a lamp unto my feet. So what all that means is I walk according to what the Word tells me to do. How do I live my life? This is something he's revealed about himself. What is acceptable behavior? Again, we talked about the fact that he has revealed to us about his love for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We see the love he had for us in that his Son came to this world and died for the sins of the world. And he did it because he wanted us to be reconciled to the Father. That's the kind of love that he has for us. And then he tells us what is unacceptable as far as what sin is. He tells us that in his word. Look at someone turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and read verse 6 for me. This is another scripture that we're very familiar with.
Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Okay. So the reality of God, the first thing before anything, before any prayers are going to be accepted, is the fact that he must believe that he is. That's the first thing. If we don't believe that, then all is lost, and there is no prayer life. Jesus prayed to the Father as a personal God. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. In other words, he did not address God as just the power source. I mean, that type of prayer. He addresses him as Father. So in other words, he is a personal God. Luke chapter 11 and verse 2. When they asked him how to pray, he said to them, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name. What God wants us to be is his children. I mean, it's as simple as that. That's what he desires for us. And that's so he's not just a power source, in other words. He's not Mother Nature. I mean, he is a real person in that he has a personality. And we see that throughout the scriptures. The second thing that we can assume when we look at the scripture, reasons or assumptions regarding prayer, is man's need for God. If we didn't need anything, why would we pray? Think about that. We know we're weak. We know we're finite. We know that we need the help of the Creator, the infinite, and the perfect. Look at John 15 and verse 5. Someone read that for me, please. This is a good scripture for this. 15 and 5.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
Without God, you can't do a thing. Okay? And it's just as simple as that. We think, you know, God, as we mentioned just a few minutes ago, God sends his Son and his rain on the good and the evil. There wouldn't be anybody, whether people believe in God or not, if he in his providence didn't send the rain and the sun on us, none of us would be here. And that's how it is. But what the Christian understands is that he does those things. And the Christian understands, I need God and I need him every day. This is why we pray without ceasing. Why is that? Because you need God all the time, every day. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll read verses 6 and 7. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. We are to cast all our cares on Him. You know, I think people, they've been, especially people that have been healthy for a long time, their whole lives, they don't think anything's ever going to happen to them. And we see that especially with kids. They get turned 17 or 18 years old and they think it's going to happen to somebody else and it can't happen to them, whatever bad thing it is. And we find out that little bugs that we can't even see can make us sick and kill us. One little cell can go wrong in your body and you can have cancer and it can kill you. So we don't know when something's going to happen. We pull out of the parking lot tonight and somebody runs a red light and hits you and you have no control over the situation. Or maybe not something as dramatic, but the economy goes bad tomorrow and none of us have jobs tomorrow. And there's no gas at the gas pump, there's no food in the store, and these are things that we have no control over. But God knows what we need. And we have to know that we need Him. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16.
Ray, while we're
go ahead.
Still going over there, Hebrews 2, number 1, knowing God. The more we know God, the more we know Him, the more we see, number 2, He shows us our need that we have and what He provides and what He does. The shoe makes us feel smaller.
When we see how great He is, and we look at ourselves, and we really look at ourselves by the light of the Scriptures, we see how far short we are. And if studying the Scriptures doesn't humble you, you're not learning anything. So we should see our need for God just by seeing how great He is and how little and insignificant we are. I think that's a great point. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In other words, we're all going to have times of need. And most of us have times of need, a lot of times maybe when we don't even know we do. I think of the church at Laodicea. You think you're rich, you think you're this, you think you're that, but you're not. In other words, we can fool ourselves if we're not very careful. And that's one of the other reasons we should be examining ourselves daily by the light of the Scriptures so we know who we are and what we need. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. He says, so we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? So one of the things that we learn is not only our need for God, but the fact that He's able to supply what the needs are. Philippians chapter 4. I won't go through every one of these scriptures, but 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Go to God with your concerns and your needs, is what He's saying. This is what you need. Verses 11 through 13 of this same chapter. Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. So what is He telling us? Going to God with our needs, He is going to supply our needs, whether it's exactly what we ask for or not. That's the other issue there. He's saying, "Why? Well, you know, I've learned how to get along with a lot or with very little." And I know a lot of people when they pray, they think that they need something. God knows exactly what we need, and what is incumbent upon us is that we go to God with our needs and our anxieties. The next thing is
that we, the assumption that we learn from the scriptures is this. God hears prayers.
Wouldn't do us much good if we went to God in prayer and he wasn't listening. Now, we're going to get into whose prayers he hears and those types of things too as we go along. But I think we understand that God hears the prayers of the righteous and not the prayers of those that are evil. But in our conversation right now, we're talking about us. God hears prayer. So that's one of the things that as a Christian, we understand that. And again, if that's not the case, then we're wasting our time talking. But anyway, James 4 and verse 8. Someone read that, please.
Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Draw nigh to God, and he will draw near to you. So,
when we start thinking about what it is that we're really praying for, what is the most important thing? What is the supreme need that we have? Is to be reconciled to God. I mean, that is the most important thing. All these other things, I mean, like he talks about, we've talked about in Romans before, I mean, nothing can separate us from the love of God. I mean, whether it's even dying doesn't separate us. And so when we go to God in prayer, that should be the first thought in our head is that I want to be as close to God as I can be. Incline my heart, Lord, to do your will. I want to be as close to you as I can be. But
we know that he hears our prayers in that way. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Those people who have obeyed the gospel, he hears their prayers. We have Jesus, who is our mediator, who sits at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us right now. And he hears our prayers. Look at Psalms 65. Verse 2. O you who hear prayer, to you all men come. And then if you look at the rest of this chapter, he talks about the awesome deeds that, in verse 5, by awesome deeds you answer us in righteousness, O God, of our salvation. You who are the trust of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest sea, who establishes the mountains by his strength, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, and the tumults of the people. They who dwell on the ends of the earth stand in awe of your signs. You make it dawn and the sunset shout for joy. You visit the earth and cause it to overflow. You greatly enrich it. The stream of God is full of water. You prepare their grain, for thus you prepare the earth. And as you go on through there, you see all of that, what all that God does for us. And again, in verse 2, he's the one who hears our prayers. He's the one that not only hears our prayers, but has the power to do something about it when he hears about it. I mean, how many times when we talk to each other and we bring our troubles to each other and share those with each other, a lot of times somebody tells me something and I feel badly for them because there's not one thing in this world I can do about it. I mean, except commiserate and you know, to say I care for you and I wish there was something I could do for you, but I can't. But God is not like that. God can do whatever he wishes. And he's always able to help. And I mean, it's our job to care for each other and to help if we can. But God is the one that makes that possible anyway, too. We know that God uses people to spread the gospel. In other words, God could. I mean, we could hear a voice from heaven and he could tell us everything we need to know, but that's not how he decided to do that. He gave us the gospel and told us to share that with other people. So there's a limit to what we can do, but there's no limit to what God's able to do. Romans chapter 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Sometimes when we can't even put what our needs are into words, God knows already, without us even saying it, He hears what we need. And is able to take care of us in that way. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. So, what's incumbent upon us is to understand as much as we can what the will of God is, and then ask according to that. And we don't know in every circumstance what His will is for something. I don't know if He wants me to stay here, if He wants me to move to California. I mean, there's certain things that I don't really know. But there's certain things that we can know, and the important things. When we talk about the supreme need of what we need is the idea of drawing nigh to God. We can ask for that. We can ask for, you know, if you look at the Lord's Prayer and study that, we can ask for all those things, and that's according to His will, and He'll supply that for us. So, as much as we can, that's one of the major reasons why we should be studying, is so we understand what His will is. Not only that we try to do it in our lives, but that we pray for those things as well. I mean, every day, one of the things that I try to pray for now is I pray, God, that Your will might be done in all this world about us. But especially here. The most urgent prayer that I have for the congregation is that we might live our lives here according to Your will. I mean, in the world, we kind of expect people not to do that. But it would be a terrible thing if even we don't live according to His will. We pray for it for everybody, but here, we have to do it. So think about these things as you think about your prayer life. The last thing, or one of the last things we have here, one of the things that the Scriptures teach is, and we touched on it already, God answers prayers. So He doesn't just hear us and forget about it. He answers prayers. Now, understand that just because I pray tonight don't mean by 6 o'clock tomorrow morning I'm going to have a neat answer. That's not... We're on His time schedule, not ours. Okay? And so we got to understand that too. That a lot of... If you look at the Old Testament and the New too, but a lot of things, it says we need to wait on God. He's not waiting. He doesn't wait on us. I mean, keep that in mind. Is that who is the creator here and who is the creation? We are to serve God. We don't pray to Him for Him to serve us. Now, Jesus took on the likeness of a servant and did service. But that's what we're to be to Him. We're to be His servants now. So we wait on God. And so we have to, one, we need to be patient. We need to continue to have faith all the time. Hebrews 11 and 6 again. We mentioned that just a few minutes ago. The second part of that verse. And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. Those who seek Him, He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And if we're asking according to His will, as we just mentioned a few minutes ago, it's going to be done. God's will is going to be done. Psalm 65 and verse 2. And we just read this a few minutes ago. We won't go through all that again. But again, it's the idea that He hears us, and then we see His answer in all the care that He gives their crops and all those things. Why does He answer our prayers? God's love for us. That's why. Think about this. John 3:16, which we talked about a few minutes ago. If He's willing to send His Son, if it's that important to Him that we be reconciled to Him, He's going to answer our prayers, because He's already proven that beyond a shadow of a doubt that He loves us because of what He's already done. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. If you want to read about the love of God, read the letters by John. Verses 8 through 10. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Of course he's going to answer our prayers if we pray according to His will. Of course He's going to answer our prayers if we've obeyed His gospel. Because of the fact that He wouldn't have sent His Son in the first place if he didn't want to help us. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So again, the reason God hears our prayers, the reason He answers our prayers, is because that He has great love for us. Now, I'm going to read a couple of some definitions that there's different people have written of their own writing as far as what they thought prayer was, and then we'll close. I just thought a couple of these were actually pretty good. Although uninspired. Prayer is correspondence with heaven, is how one person put it. Prayer is the voice of faith. In other words, if we trust and believe in God, our voice of that is actually when we go to Him in prayer, because we believe that He's going to hear our prayers and answer them. This guy put it another way. He said, prayer is helplessness casting itself upon power. It is misery seeking peace. It is unholiness embracing purity. It is hatred longing for love. Prayer is corruption panting for immortality. It is the dove returning home. It is the eagle soaring heavenward. It is the prisoner pleading for release. It is the mariner steering for the haven and the dangerous amid the dangerous storm. In other words, it's mankind
seeing his need for God and going to him and laying those anxieties upon him. It's man seeing what God has done for him and thanking him. And that's what prayer is. And God wants us to depend on him.
So next time what we'll be talking about, we'll close there. Next time we're going to talk about prayer and conversion. Because there's a lot of people that think that they're going to pray their way through. And so we're going to talk about prayer and conversion and how prayer is helpful in that. We'll do that on the next lesson. Any questions or any comments?